Good morning. Today's Avin Beitza is Chaf Dalet. We are beginning this morning with the third parak of the Masechta. Third parak of the Masechta continues with the Halachas of Yantav. Obviously, that's the purpose of the five parak of the Beitza. In it, we're going to start off with the idea that one is not allowed to trap an animal on Yantav. Now, with an animal on Yantav, so one can shecht it and one can cook it and ochel nefesh is mutter. The pasuk says in the Torah, "Asher ye'achel ochel nefesh ulavado yaselachem," that the anyantiv one is allowed to prepare food for the purpose of achila, and so therefore, certainly cooking, shechting, and hotzah and other malachas that are involved in food preparation is okay. So one can make a simple argument: well, trapping an animal is also part of the process of food preparation, and that should be okay as well. And meanwhile, it's not okay. Mishnah says it's aser. One is not allowed to do that on Yantav. And over the course of this Masechta now, it's been over 3 weeks since we started the Masechta, so certainly it can get a little bit confusing. There are activities which are okay on Yantav, and there are activities which are not okay on Yantav, even as it relates to Ochel Nefesh, even as it relates to food preparation. Shechting an animal, for example, is a malach of the Torah. One is not allowed to shecht an animal on Shabbos. If one does so intentionally, one is violating Shabbos. But meanwhile, Yantav, it's okay. Similarly, one is not allowed to grind up anything on Shabbos. That's Tochein. And meanwhile, on Yantav, you're allowed to grind. You're allowed to grind up spices, and even salt can be ground up on Yantav with a shinui, but still, salt can be ground up. So there are a number of activities which the Mishnah says are fine to do on Yantav as a result of Ochel Nefesh. And meanwhile, over here, our Mishnah starts off with an assumption. The Mishnah doesn't even explain. The Mishnah just simply starts off that one is not allowed to trap on Yantav, even though obviously the purpose of trapping is in order to get an animal in order to eat it. So it begs the question: why are you not allowed to trap an animal? Meaning, of the malachas that we're doing for Ochel Nefesh, why are some mutter and why are some aser? Let's ask the question nice and easy, nice and succinctly. Okay, good. It's an important question. And it's the kind of question where the Gemara itself never gives us a principle. All right, there is a principle. It just happens to be that the Gemara doesn't let us in on this outlining difference between malachas that are okay because of Ochel Nefesh versus malachas that are not okay as it relates to Ochel Nefesh. There's a Rashi right here in the beginning of the third parak. So Rashi much discussed Ein Tzad and Dagim. Look at the first Rashi. So even though when it comes to shechting, baking, cooking, so they are malachos and they are allowed on Yantav, so the reason why they're allowed on Yantav is because really you can't do them on Erev Yantav. Now when we say you can't do them on Erev Yantav, of course you can, but it's not the same, says Rashi. Because when it comes to shechting, so what happens if I shecht an animal yesterday? So I mean, today the animal is going to be a day old. And remember, back then there was no refrigeration. So the animal is a day old after it's been shechted, and the meat's just simply not going to be as fresh. So there's a significant difference between shechting yesterday versus shechting today. And we could say the same thing regarding baking, and we could say the same thing regarding cooking. Aval tzeda, but when it comes to hunting and trapping, efshar litzod demi bo yom. What you can do is that you can just simply trap the day prior to Yantav. Now you can keep it in a trap position. Now if it's a fish, for example, so you can keep it in the water within the net. So the fish is not going to lose any of its freshness. And meanwhile, there would be no difference whether I did the act today or I did it yesterday. And therefore you must do it yesterday as opposed to today. So that is Rashi's distinction between Efshar and Efshar, that which I can do today versus that which I cannot do today. And again, can and cannot, the definition just simply means is that would there be a qualitative difference whether I did it yesterday as opposed to whether I did it today. Rashi's understanding of Shitas Rashi is that this distinction of Efshar and Efshar is not a distinction operating mid-Rabbanan. It's not a rabbinic-level distinction. But this is a Torah-level distinction. That's the Rashi's understanding of Rashi. And that means to say that according to Rashi, if it's a malacha that ev shalasos ameir of Yantav, I could have done it before Yantav, and I decide I'm not going to do it before Yantav, but rather I'm going to do it on Yantav itself. So the Rashi's understanding of Rashi is that you violated the Isser D'Oraisa. You violated the malacha of of whatever malacha we're talking about. In this particular case, we are talking about Seida. That is, that's Rashi and our Mishnah giving us a principle. You can see Tosfos over here. We're not going to go through it inside in consideration of time. But Tosfos over here takes issue with Rashi's distinction of Efshar and Efshar. Tosfos asks a series of questions on Rashi. Anyway, there is more to discuss within the Shita of Rashi. I have a Rambam in front of me. The Rambam in the first parak of Hilchos Yom Tov. So he writes as follows. I'm in parak Aleph Halacha Hey. Kol Malacha Shef Shalasos Meir of Yom Tov. Velo Yeh Bo Hefse Velo Chisaron. Im Nasis Miber of Yom Tov. So let's say it's a Malacha where I could have done it before Yom Tov. Now if it's a Malacha that I could have done before Yom Tov, so he's making the same distinction that Rashi made regarding Efshar and Efshar. But listen carefully to the words of the Rambam. So Asru Chachamim Lasos Asobi Yom Tov, Afa Pishi Litzor Chachila. So the rabbis prohibit that activity to be done on Yom Tov. Meaning, what the Rambam is saying is that really the truth of the matter is when it comes to Malachas and Ochel Nefesh, Min HaTorah, every Malach is allowed on Yom Tov. It just happens to be that the Chachamim drew a line in the sand. The Chachamim said, look, when it comes to Ochel Nefesh, you could do every Malacha. But the rabbis were concerned that once you get involved in every Malacha for the purpose of Ochel Nefesh, so it's going to be a problem. Why is it going to be a problem? So the next words of the Rambam. The Lama Asur, the Rambam wants to know, so why did the rabbis prohibit it? So, I'm sorry, Lama Asur Davizeg, Zerishami Anicha the Malachos, Shef Shalasos, Mer of Yom Tov, Le Yom Tov, Venimse Yom Tov Kula, Olech, Vasisos, Malacha, Vimne, Mesimchas Yom Tov, Velo Yelo Penalecho. Because what if I go ahead and procrastinate and leave all the, not just cooking, but leave all the food preparation for Yom Tov, including things you could have done before Yom Tov. So what's going to end up happening is that your entire Yom Tov is going to be preoccupied with food preparation, and you will not have Simchas Yom Tov. So therefore, what the Chachamim did is they drew a line in the sand, and they said that, look, anything that you could have done before Yom Tov, you need to do before Yom Tov, even though the Torah itself is Matir or Malach is to be done on Yom Tov for Ochel Nefesh. But the Chachamim said, but we're going to put a cap on that which you can do versus that which you cannot do. And as Rambam just got done explaining, the reason for the rabbinic cap is effectively to ensure that we are enjoying Yom Tov and we experience Simchas Yom Tov. Good. So although the Svara of the Rambam, the distinction the Rambam makes is the same exact distinction as Rashi, but there's a notable difference between Rashi and the Rambam. Notably, according to Rashi, the malachas that you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov are Isser Menat Torah, according to that, at least that's the Rashi's reading of the Rashi. Whereas according to the Rambam, the malachas that you are not allowed to do on Yom Tov are Isser Midrabanan, not Menat Torah. Okay. That is all but just a general introduction to our parak over here in terms of trying to have a guiding principle of that which, of the malachas that you can do before Yom Tov versus that you can do on Yom Tov. Versus the malachas that you cannot do on Yom Tov. Anyway, when all said and done, now as we open up with the third parak over here, we can say it really nice and succinctly, nice and easy, and that is, you're not allowed to trap on Yom Tov. The trapping on Yom Tov is aser. Good. Now we can say simply, and now the details of trapping. So here the Mishnah introduces us to what I can trap and what I cannot trap. Ain't sudden dug him in a bibrim. So let's say you have like a little pond, right? Some sort of fish farm. And you have it's a contained body of water. However, it's not like super contained, meaning it's a pretty large, still a large, pretty large body of water. So you can't trap fish from it on Yom Tov. Ve'inos nelefnei mezonos, and you can't feed the fish on Yom Tov as well. In a moment, we're going to come back and we're going to explain why that should be. Aval sadin chayva of min abibrim. So, but the Mishnah says that if you, let's say, for example, you have wild animals, chaya, or ofer birds. So that, let's say you have some sort of corral, some sort of pen. So you can go ahead and you can take the animals from the corral, from the pen. That's not considered trapped because the animals are viewed as if they already are trapped. They're contained. And so therefore, taking them from there is not an act of tzeda. V'nosan lefnei mezonos, and you're allowed to feed them. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Amar lo kol abrim meshavim. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says, well, let's not take every corral and every pen and put it into one category because they're not all the same. And so and Rav Shimon Gamliel says, allow me to give you a basic rule in terms of what animals I could take from the corral and what animals I cannot take from the corral. If it's mechusar tzeder, meaning it's still, I still need to trap it. Meaning, if I go into the corral and it's not easy accessible, not easily attainable, and I gotta work in order to get the animal, so the animal now is what's called mechusar tzeder, it still needs more trapping, and if it needs more trapping, so then I can't do that on yantar, because that's an act of tzeder. However, ain't a mechusar tzeder, if the corral, if the pen is so small, that really when you go in there, it's not gonna be a problem whatsoever to get the animal, to acquire the animal, so then that's called where it's ain't a mechusar tzeder, and therefore, as a result of that, it's going to be mutter. Okay. The Mishnah told us that you're not allowed to feed the fish on Yantav. Why not? So the Rashi writes over here, back on the Mishnah, go back to the previous Amud and look at the Rashi on the bottom. Ve'inosnim, lifting at Dagma Zonos, so Afilaman Darman Nefesh Be'ema Be'mashma. Now Rashi says, now remember, we just did a couple days ago, Machlokes between the Tanaim, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yossi, in terms of when the Torah says, Ach Asher Yechel L'chol Nefesh. So what does it mean, L'chol Nefesh? Anything eaten by any Nefesh. So, Machlok is between Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yossi. Anyway, so there is a Shita that says that you can feed not only people, but you can feed animals as well. So if that's true, so why not feed the fish? So Rashi writes, Hani Mila Demazona San Alecha. So that's only when the animal is dependent on you for food. But in the fish world, so they don't need you for food. In other words, they could do fine without you. And so as a result of that, they are not looking to you for sustenance. And so therefore, feeding them would be also. What kind of this are we talking about? So for Rashi, presumably what we mean to say is that it's tircha yisera. Maybe it's a labor that's not necessary. Unnecessary activity on yantif. It could be also maybe a function of muksa. Anyway, but that's Rashi's distinction between the animals that you can feed versus the animals that you cannot feed, whether they are dependent on you for food. Okay. We are in the Gemara on Chavdal Med Aleph. So what we learned together is that you're not allowed to trap. And the structure of the Mishnah is that the Mishnah first brought in the Shita of the Tanakama, followed then by the Shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel just simply says that not every corral, not every pen has the same halacha. It depends how large it is. Okay, now, with our Mishnah in mind, so now we're going to compare and contrast it to a Mishnah in Shabbos. Mishnah in Shabbos writes, V'remenu bivrim shalchai v'shalofos ein tzad demehem b'yom tov v'ein nosnim lifnem mizonos. So the Mishnah in Shabbos seems to be saying exactly the opposite of our Mishnah. The Mishnah in Shabbos says that when I have these corrals of wild animals and birds, so I'm not allowed to take animals from there on yantov. And I can't feed them as well. So literally the opposite of what we learned in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we learned that a chai, that an oaf that's in a corral, in a pen, in a bivar, so you're allowed to take it because it's considered as if it's already trapped. So istira between the Mishnah and the Mishnah here in Yantav and that which we learned in Shabbos. It's a brisa, it's a tosefta. Anyway, so kasha ofos. So the Gemara says that it's difficult. It's difficult on two counts. Meaning, it's so our Mishnah both on the topic of wild animals and on birds as well. Now, Bishlam Achaya Chaylo Kasha Ha Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, well, as far as the difference between our Mishnah and the Brisa regarding animals, regarding wild animals, so the Gemara says, well, we could simply say it's a Machlokas Tanaim. Because we know there's a Machlokas Tanaim. The Gemara introduces us. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Atzatzi Porle Migdal Vitzvil Abayis Chayav. So if a person were to take a bird, and trap it into a migdal. Migdal literally translates as a tower, but tower probably over here, not the best way to describe it. Anyway, some sort of chest, some sort of box. Or let's say you take the brisa continues, let's say a tzvi, and you bring it to the house, or chayev. So the baisa de mechayev aval lebivim lo. So, and that means to say that if the deer is brought into a house, so that is trapping. However, if it's just brought into a corral, that's not considered trapping because the corral is not considered as if the deer is already trapped. Now, according to the Chachamim, a bird taken into a migdal, so that's going to be considered trapping, and a deer brought into a corral, that's also going to be considered trapping. So fine, so we have a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Once a deer is in a corral, is it now considered trapped? So Rabbi Yehuda says no, and Rabbi and the Chachamim say yes. So now that we know that it's a machlokas, so the Gemara says, so the easy way to resolve the difference between the Mishnah here and the Braisa is just simply say it's a machlokas Tanaim. However, that only explains the distinction between chayos, but that doesn't explain the distinction between ofos, because by ofos, so Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim agree. So ela ofos, ofos kasha v'chite, ma'anami lo kasha, abibibar mekura, abibibar shena mekura. So the Gemara says, and maybe what you'll do is make a distinction between a corral that is has a roof on top and a corral that does not have a roof on top. Meaning a corral that has a roof on top, so once you take a bird and bring it into that environment, so now it's considered trapped because it's got nowhere to go. And if the corral does not have a roof on top, so that's not considered like it's trapped. Gemara says that would be a good distinction. However, the habayis de kibibar mekura dami ubein la Rav Yehuda ubein la Rabbanan sipa la migdal in la bayis lo. So, and meanwhile, a house is like a bivar mekura. It's like a roofed corral. And yet we learned that if you take a bird and somehow get it to go into your house, it's not yet viewed and considered as if it is trapped. And so basically it comes out now that there is really no distinction to be made between a corral that has a roof or a corral that does not have a roof. Even a corral that has a roof on it is not considered as if the bird is trapped. And that means to say that fetching the bird from that corral, even with a roof, is considered an act of seidah. So once again, that goes against our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, "Amarava beravuna hacha b'tzipor joras kinan sheinu mekabelos maros." So the Gemara says, "Okay, but there are different types of birds, and so what you have is what's called a tzipor dror, right? A free bird, and a certain type of bird, certain species of bird that is not ready to accept any kind of ownership over it. Meaning, even as it's brought into a house, it's still quite comfortable." It does not feel confined and it can get out and escape anytime it wants. And you're going to have to really effort in order to get it. Such a bird is considered as if it's not trapped. And if you're successful in trapping it, that's an act of tzedah. Masha Inkein, if it's other types of birds, which are slightly more domesticated. So then once you bring it to the house, so it's considered as if it's trapped already. The Gemara says, maybe that's a distinction. And on that, the Gemara says, Now, this particular species of bird, which is called the tzipor dror, so it's called that way because it's comfortable anywhere it is, anywhere it's brought into. It still feels like it's at home. It does not feel trapped, and it always has a free spirit to it. Free-spirited birds. So good. So anyway, so at this point in time, at this juncture, so now what we're saying is as follows. So structurally, what we're looking at is a steer between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Mishnah says that once a bird is brought into a confined environment, it's considered trapped. And so therefore, on Yontif, what you can now do is you can now go ahead and take it because it's already trapped. It's already nitzod. And so therefore, what you're doing is not an act of tzedah. That's what we learned in the Mishnah. Meanwhile, the Braisa says just the opposite. The Braisa says that even as a bird is brought into some sort of pen or some sort of corral or some sort of confined environment, so the Braisa says that the bird is not yet considered trapped, which means that in Yontif, you can't go ahead and take it. Okay, so that's the Stira. So on the Chaya front, so the Gemara says it's a Machlokas Tanayim, and we'll just simply explain as a Machlokas Tanayim. However, there is no Machlokas Tanayim as it relates to birds, and it just left us with the Stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa. What the Gemara just did is now say that there's a distinction to be made in Metzius. There are different types of birds. Birds that behave more like subjects, and birds that are more free-spirited. So the birds that behave more like subjects, once you got them, that's it. They're now, they're confined and both mentally and physically, and therefore taking them is not an act of tzedah. As opposed to a free-spirited bird, even as you bring it into your house, the bird is comfortable. The bird at no point in time feels like it's confined or trapped, and it's just as comfortable in the house as it is outside the house, which means that taking it would be an act of trapping. Okay, so we made a distinction in ukimtas in order to explain the birds. So the Gemara says, you know what? You just gave me a great idea. What we're going to do now is basically we're going to go back. We're going to revisit the stira, even by chai, even by wild animals, and we're going to basically do the same thing. A distinction made in ukimtas. And as Rashi points out over here, it's a preferred method of how to resolve brisas, right? To say that one brisa is going like one tana, another brisa is going like another tana. So Rashi over here on our daf describes it as a dochik. That's a forced answer. So what we'll do is we'll just give a distinction in Metzius. And the Gemara really likes this next approach. So the Gemara says, lost my spot. Ha'ashad asis lahachi, thank you. Okay, so good. So now we can also go back and go back to the drawing board and explain the distinction between different types of animals. So now over here, what we're going to do is that we're not going to make a distinction within types of animals, but we're going to make a distinction in terms of the contained area. And so there is a large contained area, small contained area. So if you brought the animal into a small confined area, so now the animal's trapped, and so now taking it on yontif would be fine. If, however, you brought the animal into a larger area, it's not as contained, it's not as confined, and now when you go into the pen, you're going to have to chase it down. So that's considered as if the animal now is not trapped, which means that going in on yontif would be an act of trapping. So the Gemara says, great. So now we know there's a difference between large and small. So what the Gemara is going to try to do is try to walk us through, well, what's large and what's small. So hechidami bibrakatan, hechidami bibrakatan, am Rav Ashi. The Gemara is going to say it a number of different ways. Rashi says that really, they're all looking at the same thing. They're just looking at it from different perspectives. But it's all a way of trying to gauge what's big and what's small. So am Rav Ashi. So number one, kol hechidari abasra umatila bechad shachya bibrakatan viidach bibrakatan. So if you can get to the animal in this contained area in one lunge, that's small. If it takes more than one lunge, that's large. Okay. So the Gemara says, or alternatively, so if it's got corners, meaning if the animal can duck out into a corner within the contained area, so that's considered large. If it does not have a corner where it can run to, it's considered small. Inami, another way to say it, is so when the sun's shadow, when it's cast, it's the shadow of one wall is going to hit the other wall. That's small. Otherwise, it's considered large. Now, yeah, of course, yeah, it's really hard. It's really hard. Whenever the Gemara talks about the sun and the shadow that it casts, we did this in the beginning of Beitza as well. So it's really difficult. Well, at what point of the day are we talking about? We're talking about midday. Even at midday, the sun is not directly overhead. The sun is always coming in at an angle, and also the sun's angle is going to change based on season. So yes, what the Gemara is trying to do, right? It's difficult. What the Gemara is trying to do is give definition to what's small versus large. And so the Gemara gives a number of ways to try to define it. Okay, when all said and done, right? The Gemara intuitively knows that there are two categories. There's one small and there's one large. It just happens to be that it's not so easy to go ahead and give a working definition of what the difference is. So the Gemara is just giving us different points of views in terms of how to see it. But yeah. Ben, I'm totally with you. This last one that's offered by the Gemara is not as objective as we would like it to be. Okay. In the Mishnah, going back to the Mishnah, so you remember you had the Tanakhama, you had Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Now, as far as the Mishnah is concerned, it's really not clear. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, what is he doing over there at the end of the Mishnah? Is he arguing with the Tanakhama? Or is he there just to simply help us understand the Tanakhama? And he's just simply being mazbir the Tanakhama. So this is a classic debate that happens throughout Mishnayos. And so our Mishnah over here, same. Our Mishnah over here, it's really not clear. In fact, it's so not clear. So I'm Rav Yosef, I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Shmuel, Lach Kiru Shimon Gamliel. So the Gemara quotes B'Shem Shmuel, it's a Masorah, Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, or going back to Shmuel. And he says, Allah is like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Amar Le Abaye. So Abaye says to him, meaning to Rav Yosef, so Allah Mechlal de Pligi. Oh, so okay, good. So that means that you understood that Rav Shimon Gamliel is arguing with the Tanakhama. Oh, so I see how you see the Mishnah. So Amar Lei, Umay Nafka Lachmina. So his response is, what difference does it make? Meaning, if Rav Shimon Gamliel argues with the Tanakhama, the halacha follows like Rav Shimon Gamliel. If Rav Shimon Gamliel, is explaining the Tanakhama, still the halacha follows like Rav Shimon Gamliel. So there's no practical difference. So, okay, so what difference does it make what the correct pshat in the Mishnah is? So Amar Lei Gemara Gemara Zemur Tatei, and the response is, what difference does it make? Meaning, learning Torah is basically an attempt to find to uncover the truth. Meaning, we're interested in Emes right now. So you're right. In terms of the halacha, it may not make a difference, but in terms of our understanding of Torah, so we need to know: are there two opinions over here? Is there only one opinion over here? If there are two opinions, what's the svar of the two opinions? Meaning, there's analysis to be done when learning Torah. And so over here, you can't just simply say, okay, that's the halacha, good, now we're done. No, in other words, you really want to try to get to the bottom and really try to uncover what the truth is. Okay. And the expression over here, it's like, what's Gemara to you? Gemara's like singing a song. Now, the simple pshat of the expression over here is that, you know, like when we sing songs, so we do so mindlessly. Okay. I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. If you ever think about the songs that you sung when you were a kid, like, in other words, we sang them with no thought whatsoever what they meant, and then you get older, and then all of a sudden you think about, oh my gosh, I listened to that, and that's what it meant, and okay, right, terrible revelations later in life. But meanwhile, that's not learning. Learning is basically to arrive at understandings, to the best of our ability, to arrive at understandings. So it's important. It's important to know whether Rav Shimon Gamliel is arguing with the Tanna Kamma or he's coming to explain the Tanna Kamma. Okay, Rashi over here, it takes a somewhat different take in terms of the Gemara's expression over here. Anyway, what I said is a really simple, straightforward pshat. Okay, Zaklal Kol HaMechusar Tzeda. Okay, so we're within the rule of Rav Shimon Gamliel, and that is as follows. So not all the pens are the same. Not all the corrals are the same. If you need to go into the corral and still chase the animal down, the animal is what's called mechusar tzeda. It's still missing trapping. It's still lacking in trapping, which means that what you're doing now is an act of trapping. Okay. So, heichidam mechusar tzeda. So, once again, the Gemara is going to try to do this for us. And that is what is considered where you're going into the corral and the animal is not yet trapped. So, Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Kol Sha'omer, Hava Metzuda V'Nitzodu. So that means to say that, listen, when you go into the corral and you say to your friend, oh, we got to get a net or some sort of trapping device, meaning we still got work to do. Okay, again, same thing. Gemara is trying to give a definition to what is considered that the animal is not sufficiently trapped. So the Gemara says, okay, now what about birds? Okay, now when it comes to birds, so try this at home. Well, first you need a bird, but try this at home, okay? And try to run after a chicken, or a duck, or any of the birds. It happens to be right in our community. So ducks abound, well, lots of them. Okay, so I'm too old for this, but in other words, but sometimes you find the kids chasing after ducks and. And it's hard. It's not easy. It's not easy to chase one down. So the Gemara says, now, meanwhile, so the point over here is as follows, is that when it comes to birds, so they're not easy to just simply pick up. And even if they're in a pen, Vitanya will let them rise outside. If it's time to go on the Yoni Ardesios Pater. And meanwhile, the Brisa says that if you go ahead and you were to trap these kinds of birds, so you would be Pater, meaning the birds are considered trapped. Even though when you go into the pen, you still have a lot more work to do. So Amar Rava Beravuna Amar Shmuel Halalu Bain Lekluvam Larev Halalu Ein Bain Lekluvam Larev. So once again, the Gemara is going to make a distinction between ukimtas, different types of birds. There are birds that come home to roost. I mean that here almost literally, and there are birds that do not come home to roost. In other words, for the kinds of birds, let's say like chickens, where as difficult as they can be sometimes to just to run after, but when all said and done, at the end of the day. So they're going to go back to the house and not your house, but their little bird house and they're going to go back to their feed. So they're domesticated and so therefore trapping them on Yantav once they're already in the pen is not considered an act of trapping. However, if they don't come back to the bird house and they don't come back to feed, so then, it's going to be an act of trapping. So the Gemara says, okay, now what about these yonim, right? Yonei shovach, yonei aliyah. Now, they will always come back to the birdhouse, and they're always going to come back to feed. And meanwhile, we learned in the Brisa of Vitanya, outside yonei shovach, yonei aliyah, v'tziparim shekanu b'tipichim, b'biros chayev. And yet the Brisa says that when I trap them, I'm going to be chayev. So over here, your answer is not working, because you said that birds that go back to the house in order to feed, so they're considered as if they're already trapped. And meanwhile, the Brisa says, no, not by these yonei shovach. So Ella Amarava Baravuna Mashmo Allahabam Lakluvam Larva Mazona Samalacha Valabam Lakluvam Larva Imazona Samalacha. So it depends whether they're reliant on you for food or they're not reliant on you for food. So if they're reliant on you for food, so you basically got them. Meaning even though it may take a little bit of work to go ahead and run after them, but they need you. And they need you for feed, and so therefore ultimately when all said and done, they're gonna come back. And so they're considered as if they're trapped. On the other hand, if they occupy your birdhouses, but they're not looking for you for food, so then, it's not considered as if they're trapped. The Yone Shovach and the Yone Aliyah that we just described, They're not relying on you for food. Rav Mari Amar Hani Avida LeRebuye V'Hani Lo Avida LeRebuye. Rav Mari is trying to give another distinction, and that is birds slip away. In other words, when you try to grab a bird, it slips away. The Gemara says, really, Kulunami Avida LeRebuye. So the every bird slips away. So the Gemara says, look, Klovam Kamina and Avida LeRebuye. So the Gemara says, no, even as they're coming back for feed, so some birds are will totally allow you to pick them up, some birds will not. And so for the birds that will allow you to pick them up when they're feeding, so those birds are considered as if they're trapped. And the birds that will not allow you to pick them up as even as they're feeding, so they're not considered as if they're trapped. Okay, so a lot of work today in the first part of today's daf in terms of wrapping our head around which birds are considered trapped, which birds are not considered trapped. A lot of ukimtas, most of it, not most. Much of it went over my head, as you know, as I'm not in well versed in the world of birds and the different types of birds, and you know, and I don't run a farm. But the basic idea, however, I certainly get after the first amud of today's daf, and that is that trapping on yontif is aser, and if the animal is already considered as if it's trapped, so then of course he can get it on yontif because the trapping's been done prior to yontif. If on the other hand, the animal, the bird, is not considered trapped, and it requires for you on yontif to do the act of trapping, so that you can't do on yontif. That's the easiest way to summarize and say over the first amud of today's daf. But of course, there's a lot of details, and again, details that if you are farming and you know about the birds, so good. So the details are gonna speak to you much more clear. Okay, next, we're on the Mishnah Chavdal Amud Aleph. Mitsudos Chayva Ofidagim Shasam Erev Yom Tov Lo Yitol Mehem B'Yom Tov Ela Im Kein Yodei Shemitzod Erev Yom Tov. Okay, so the Mishnah tells us the following: you laid out traps before Yom Tov. Okay, good. So the traps that are laid out before Yom Tov. So if you know for sure that the animal that got trapped there on Yom Tov, meaning you wake up the next morning and then, lo and behold, in your trap you have an animal that was trapped. Oh, wonderful! And now you can eat it, right? So the Mishnah says only if you know for sure that the animal was trapped prior to Yontif. Then and only then can you go ahead and take this animal home with you. If, however, you don't know, you can't take it home. Umaisa benachriach hashevi dagim l'rabim gamliol v'amr mutarin hein elo she'in ritzoni l'kabal amenam. Then the Mishnah tells us a story regarding Rabim Gamliel. So here in the second parak, we've been seeing a lot of Rabim Gamliel. Sorry, we're in the third parak now. Going back to the second parak, so we saw at the end of the second parak a lot of Rabbi Gamliel. So over here in this Mishnah, so a story, we're treated to a story with Rabbi Gamliel, and that is a non-Jew came over and brought him a fish on Yontif, and Rabbi Gamliel says it's mutter. I'm just not going to take it. In other words, I'm going to be machmir upon myself. So I'm not going to take it, but it's mutter. He declares to everybody else that it would be fine. Now when was this fish caught? We don't know. In other words, the non-Jew brought on Yontif, and we don't know when it was caught. So the Gemara immediately reacts to, wait one second, take the halacha of the Mishnah and compare it to the story, and you should be confused. Mm-hmm. Meaning the halacha is that the only way that you can accept a trapped animal is only if you know for sure that it was trapped before Yontif. And meanwhile, the story tells us with Rabbi Gamliel, where the guy comes with a fish on Yontif, presents it to Rabbi Gamliel. We don't know the first history about we know what the fish is. We know it's a kosher fish. We just don't know when it was trapped. And Rabbi Gamliel pronounces to the world at large, it's mutter. Again, as a personal chumra, he didn't want to take it. The Mishnah doesn't tell us why. But to the world at large, he tells everybody it's mutter. So now the story obviously goes right against the halacha, because the halacha seemingly is, if you don't know when it's trapped, so you have to be machmir. And Rabbi Gamliel was not machmir, he was mekel. So the Gemara says, okay, so what's happening in the Mishnah is we're missing a small piece of the Mishnah. And what we're going to do now is that we're going to go over what is a missing component of the Mishnah, what's called Chasur Mechzara. This happens all the time throughout the Gemara. And once we fill in the missing detail, so then we're going to be able to do a much better job wrapping our head around the transition between the first part of the Mishnah and the second part of the Mishnah. So, Safik Muchan Asur. So, there is an opinion of the Tanakhama. And the Tanakhama says that Safik Muchan. That let's say we don't know it's a Safik. So, the Tanakhama would tell you that it's going to be Asur. Now, you already pretty much got that from the Tanakhama of our Mishnah. Because in the Mishnah, what did it say? It said that they have to know for sure that it was trapped before Yontif. So, but still, the point is, is that encrypted in that halacha is that if it's a suffix, so it's going to be aser. Meaning we don't know. Us, you have to be machmer. And Rabbi Gamliel, matir. And Rabbi Gamliel says, you know where I stand regarding a suffix? I'm going to be makel by a suffix. And since I'm going to be makel by a suffix, so therefore, it would obviously mean that if a fish or any animal was brought to me, and maybe was trapped before Yom Tov, maybe it was not, I'd be makel. And now, story time. And now the story complies with the Shita, Rabbi Gamliel. Good. And now the story supports the Shita Rabbi Gamliel, but now that we've expanded the Mishnah, now that we've opened up the Mishnah, now we know that it's a point of contention. Where do we stand regarding a suffix? Okay, now, where do the Amorim stand on this issue about a suffix muchan, where we don't know if the animal was trapped before Yom Tov or on Yom Tov, and it's a suffix. So the Amoraim weigh in on this. So we have a Mesorah B'Shem Shmuel that the halacha does not follow like Rabbi Gamliel. Ika demasila detanya. Some say that the statement of the Amora is going on the following brisa. Suffik muchan. Rabbi Gamliel mati Rabbi Yeshua oser. So if it's a suffix, so Rabbi Gamliel says it's motor, Rabbi Yeshua says it's oser, Rabbi Rabbi Shmuel halachik Rabbi Yeshua, and the halacha falls like Rabbi Yeshua. So it's the same thing as our Mishnah, but as Rashi points out, in our Mishnah, the Tanakhama was anonymous, and the Brisa of the Tanakhama is identified as Rabbi Yeshua, but it comes out to be the same. V'ika d'masala d'tanya, as we now turn to the Amud Beis, some learned on the following Brisa, shochtim mina nagarin b'yomtov avalo mina rishtos, mina umina mechmaros. So what you're allowed to do is take a wild animal and take it from the bivar. So the bivar is a corral we discussed in the first half of today's daf. So, but it's small; it's really contained. So the animal is considered nitzod, and so as a result of that, so no problem on Yantav to go ahead and take it from there. But rishtos and michmaros, nets and other types of traps, so that you can't do. Shimon ben Elazar Omer, bo matzah mekukal emir of Yantav biyadu shemir of Yantav nitzod umatarim, bo matzah mekukal emir Yantav biyadu shemir Yantav nitzod vasarim. So. Let's say you do the following. Let's say before Yom Tov, you go and check out the trap. Now, Rashi over here describes that it's a long trap, but nevertheless, you don't have to see the actual animal in the trap, meaning you know the trap was set off, because one side of the trap is already totally discombobulated. Okay. In other words, basically, you could look at the trap and just know already if it caught an animal or if it did not caught an animal. So if you went there out there in Erev Yom Tov and you see that the trap was set off, so good. So that means now that the animal was trapped before Yom Tov. And if you go there on Yom Tov and see that the trap was set off on Yom Tov, so then you can't do it. Now we're a little bit confused in this brisa is what if it's a suffix? And that's exactly what the Gemara wants to know. Hagufa kashi amar ba matzah mekukalim Erev Yom Tov biyadushim Erev Yom Tov nitzadu time of the ba matzah mekukalim hasfek asurin. So if I make a diak on the first half of the brisa, what it would sound like is that if it's a suffix, it would be usher. But then, a masefa, go to the next part of the brisa. Bom, masa mekukalan biyamta biyadusha biyamta nitzodu, time of the bab, masa mekukalan, hasfeka mayor of yamta nitzodu, umutarin. And meanwhile, the second half of the brisa tells us that if I find that the trap was set off on yantav, so then it's usher. If it's a suffix, it would be mutter. There are conflicting inferences of the brisa. That's a problem. Hachi Kamar, the Gemara says, it's not a problem. Because here is what we're going to say in order to resolve. So Hachi Kamar, ba, matzah mekukal merev yantav biyadusha merev yantav nitzodu matarin. Hasfeka, nase kemish nitzodu miyantav asurin. So what we'll say is that the diuk is correct on the first part of the brisa, not the second part of the brisa. In fact, here's how you read the brisa. The brisa tells us that if I check the trap before yantav and I see that the trap was set off before yantav, great. Now, what if it's suffix meaning? I simply don't know. It's then tantamount to the trap being set off on Yom Tov itself, meaning, and it would be usher. Okay, good. And basically, what we're learning now in this brisa for the third time, this is the third Tana Idik source that tells us that suffix is going to be usher. And Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Lachik Rav Shmuel Amar Elazar. And Shmuel comes out with the same conclusion that he came out two times earlier, and that is that the halacha falls like Rav Shmuel Amar Elazar, that suffix is going to be usher. Okay, now, suffix is going to be usher, so generally speaking, So what do we say? That if it's a Suffolk d'Oraisa, we're going to be Machmir. If it's a Suffolk d'Rabbanan, we're going to be Mako. What kind of Isser are we talking about over here? Meaning, you set the trap. You obviously didn't actively trap the animal. So are we talking about Isser d'Oraisa or Isser d'Rabbanan if, in fact, the trap sets off on Shabbos itself or on... Sorry, we're talking about Yontif over here. If it sets off on Yontif itself, so presumably, we're not talking about Isser d'Oraisa, we're talking about Isser d'Rabbanan. Presumably. Right, when something happens on its own, when something happens on its own, so you don't actively do it on Shabbos or on Yontif, so that's not a violation of the Malacha, right? We discussed this in the very beginning of Masechta Shabbos, right? Your kelim do not have to be Shomer Shabbos. You have to be Shomer Shabbos. Your animals have to be a Shomer Shabbos, but your kelim do not have to be a Shomer Shabbos. The truth of the matter is, it's a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, but your kelim don't have to be a Shomer Shabbos. So if you set up the trap before Yontif, and then it sets off on Yontif itself, right? It's like a timer. Okay, timers are a little bit controversial, not a little bit, but anyway, but certainly everyone's in agreement. You didn't violate Nisa d'Oraisa, right? Once you set something on a timer, so setting a trap is the same thing. So you didn't violate Nisa d'Oraisa, presumably. And so therefore, at worst, what we're looking at over here is that it's an Isser d'Rabbanan. In fact, if I could give it a name, I'd call it Muktza. Meaning that because it wasn't trapped before Yontif, it was trapped on Yontif itself. So that means that you were not making that animal. You didn't set aside that animal for Yontif. So if anything, we call that a Muktza. So, I'm just putting together what hopefully will be a good question, which I don't have a great answer to. So that means to say now that if we're talking about a Suffolk, what's a Suffolk? It's a Suffolk d'Rabbanan, right? We don't know when the animal was trapped. Maybe it was trapped before Yontif. Maybe it was trapped on Yontif. So it's a Suffolk d'Rabbanan. So generally speaking, Suffolk Muktza. Generally speaking, what do we say regarding Suffolk? So we're Mekel by a Suffolk. And over here we're Machmer. If I had a guess, which is what I'm doing right now, so please take everything I'm saying right now with a grain of salt. So if I had a guess, so I would say that the reason to be Machmer, which is, by the way, that's the Gemara's conclusion. Right, Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shmuel, it's a machlokus, but the Gemara's conclusion is that we're going to be machmir by a suffix. So maybe we're going to be machmir over here because despite the fact that it's a suffix to Rabbanan, but it's a davar sheish lamatirin, meaning that after Yontif, it's going to be mutar lagamre. So by davar sheish lamatirin, we learned earlier in the Masechta, back on Daf Gimel, Daf Dalid, that davar sheish lamatirin, so that's a powerful argument, that's a powerful svara. So by davar sheish lamatirin, there's not going to be bittul. We also learned at the beginning of this Masechta that by davar sheish lamatirin we're going to be machmir on a din d'rabbanan, on a suffik d'rabbanan. Okay, so so maybe that's a reason to be machmir over here. But again, I didn't see that. I'm just suggesting it, but it could very well be. Okay, let's do a little bit more for today, and then we'll obviously leave ourselves off for tomorrow. We're at the two dots. Ve'amr mutarin hein. Remember, Rabbi Gamliel got the gift from the guy. The guy presented with him a fish on Yontif, and we don't know when it was trapped, but remember, Rabbi Gamliel himself is of the opinion that Safik Muchan is Mutter, and so therefore he pronounced everybody that's Mutter. Now, when he said Mutter, what do you think that meant? Okay, without the Gemara, and if I had a guess, so you know, generally speaking, you know what the word Mutter means? It means it's okay, it's permissible. That's a simple pshat in the word Mutter. And meanwhile, what's going to come out right now in the Gemara is the Amoraim are not so clear. So mutar lamai. Now, mind you, by the way, let's just make sure that we have the Gemara really good and organized. This is analysis within the Shita of Rabbi Gamliel, which the Gemara does not accept lahalacha. But as we already discussed earlier this morning, the Gemara is a search for the truth. And even though we don't paskin like Rabbi Gamliel, but still to arrive at good pshat within Rabbi Gamliel, so that's a chelik of Talmud Torah. That's a function of learning Torah. So what we're trying to do now is learn good pshat within Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel says it's mutter. Now, what does that mean? Mutarim lamai. So Rav Amar mutarim lekabel. So Rav has a really interesting position, which is that you are allowed to accept it from him. You're allowed to put it in your fridge. I know, anachronistic. So you are allowed to whatever. But what you can't do, according to Rav, is you can't eat it. Now, that's really interesting. Meaning, what Rav is telling us is that there are different levels of muktzah. So there's muksa for tiltal. There's muksa legabe achila. Now the truth of the matter is that in the very beginning of the Masechta, the first Tosfos alluded to this idea that there are different levels of muksa. And that is a muksa for tiltal, muksa for legabe achila. Okay. Anyway, so that is the shita of Rav. Rav is of the position that I can accept it from him, but that's it. I can't eat it. And Levi, Amar Mutar Bachila. Now, Levi is of the position that you're allowed to eat it. Meaning, it is Mutar Legamre. And there's no muksa on it whatsoever. You can move it. You can even eat it. Obviously, tent if you're going to want to cook it, but okay, good. So, Amar Rav La'olam al-Yimna Adam Atzma Mi Beis HaMedrash Afilo Sha'achas. So, Rav says, look, let me, a little Musar over here. So you should be in the Beis Medrash all the time. And right, you have a Rebbe and he's saying Shir and he should be there all the time. Don't miss Shir. Why? Da'ana v'Levi having a coming to Rebbe. Because two students of Rebbe happens to be myself and Levi. Right? Rav Levi. So they were under the tutelage of Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi. And ki amar lashmai de ba'orta amar mutarn ba'achila. So now it happens to be that when Rebbe was teaching it over, he said that He went over the Mishnah, he went over the Shita Rebbe Gamliel, he said Mutter, and then the night prior, so Rebbe said Pshat in Rebbe Gamliel, Mutter Ba'achila, like Levi says. However, here, Levi only got half the story. Because what happened is, B'tzafra the next morning, Amar Mutarin, Lekabel, and then what happened was, is that, when he said over the Mishnah again in the morning, so when Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi taught the Mishnah, and the Shita Rebbe Gamliel, that's Mutter. He said, Mutter only Lekabel. In other words, you're allowed to move the fish, you can accept it from the guy, but you can't eat it. In other words, Rebbe changed his viewpoint. And I was there when I saw Rebbe in real time change his viewpoint. And meanwhile, Levi was not there. Good. So Levi Mashir, and so therefore he didn't get the full story. Okay. Meisve, the Gemara says, okay, but allow me please to show you a brisa. Nachrishavi, there only saw a filo dagim. Hamefulamim uperes bnei yama mutarim. So let's say you receive a gift from a guy. On Yantav, he's bringing you fish. He's bringing you fruit. The fish is super fresh. You see that the fish was just taken out of the water. The fruit is super fresh. So probably just picked off of a tree. So the brisa says, great. Accept it from him on Yantav. To which the Gemara says, what? So Bishlam Laman Dharma Mutan Lakaba Shapir, Ella Laman Dharma Mutan Ba'achila, Peres Beneyona Mishar Ba'achila. So the Gemara says, now, if I went like Rav, that the only thing you're allowed to do is accept it from him, fine. But if you went like Levi, you're allowed to eat it, what are you talking about? If the fruit was just picked off of a tree today on Yantav by the guy, so that fruit is for sure muksa, 100% that fruit is muksa. You're not allowed to eat it. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Slow down on the question. The Gemara says, I don't understand. If I pick the fruit off the tree today, it's muksa on every level. You're not allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to move it. Meaning it's muksa all around. So that question wasn't just towards the Shita of Levi. That question is also according to the Shita of Rav as well. So the Gemara says, here's what we're going to say. What we're going to say is that the fruit was not freshly picked today, or at least we don't know for sure it was freshly picked today. It just happens to be that it was on the fresher side. The Gemara says, "Abikavre adime." The fish had some sort of complexion that looks like it was picked recently. And uperi de kivishi biyaraka. And as far as the fruit was concerned, it was kept in some sort of liquid. It just simply means that it still had some sort of it appeared as if it was picked today, but not necessarily. And so therefore, it just simply means, it means to say that it falls under the category of suffix. And that's why it was mutter. Now, again, mutter legabe what? So the machlok is between Rav and Levi. So Rav will tell you mutter letalta, but not to eat. And according to Levi, you're allowed to eat it. Okay, but in other words, but we don't know for sure whether it was picked today or was picked yesterday. And also, what we'll have to also say is that this price is going like Rebbe Gamliel, not like the Tanakhama. Okay, good. Okay, good place to stop. Let's quickly recap. Let's review. Okay, we opened up the third parak of the Masechta today. Today's daf is Chaf Dal and Beitza. And before doing so, we gave a short introduction to Klale Malachos Anyantav. Malachos are allowed Anyantav for Ochel Nefesh. That's true, but not always true. There are a number of Malachos, even though it's going to result in Ochel Nefesh, that you're not allowed to do Anyantav. Trapping being a wonderful example. Trapping, you're not allowed to do Anyantav. That's clear. Why are you not allowed to trap it? It's going to lead to Ochel Nefesh. Why can't you do so? So Rashi and the Rambam both give the same Svara, but as I noted in the beginning of today's shir, they're not exactly the same. They both talk about the difference between Efshar and Efshar. If I could have done it before Yantav, and no qualitative difference between before Yantav and on Yantav itself, so then you got to do it before Yantav. That's Rashi. The Rambam agrees with that basic idea. However, the big difference that we spoke about in the beginning of today's shir is that according to Rashi, Efshar and Efshar is going to make the difference between Mutter versus Aser Mena Torah. If it's Efshar La'asos Me'er of Yantav, so then it would be Aser Mena Torah to do so on Yantav. The Rambam, however, fundamentally disputes that. The Rambam writes, I read the Rambam earlier this morning, that for the Malachas of Ochel Nefesh, they're all allowed on Yantav. Every Malacha is allowed on Yantav for the purpose of Ochel Nefesh. However, the rabbi said that if you start trapping on Yantav, you will have no Simchas Yantav whatsoever. You're going to be so involved the whole day in the preparation of food, and you're doing all the preparatory stages that are necessary in order to arrive at food, and you're simply not going to have any Simchas Yantav whatsoever. So what the rabbis did is they drew a line in the sand, and they said that malachas that you could have done before Yantav, you need to do before Yantav, and you cannot do it on Yantav. But according to the Rambam, it's not Aser Min HaTorah, it's Aser Min HaRabbanan. Good. That's the basic difference between the Rambam and the Rashi. And all I did was just scratch the surface, because on trying to give a principle of which malachas you can do on Yantav, which malachas you cannot do on Yantav, even as it relates to Ochel Nefesh, there are many other opinions that I didn't go over this morning. Again, it's a daf. I just, you know, covering some of the highlights, but not close to doing a good job with this particular topic. Anyway, on the Amud Aleph of today's daf, what we learned is that if an animal's trapped, so then on Yantav you can go ahead and take it, because that's not an act of theta. If the animal is not considered trapped, even though it's brought into some sort of pen or corral, but it still takes effort and work to go ahead and trap it, that would be an act of trapping, and that you cannot do on Yantav. That's the Amud Aleph. On the Amud Beis, well, really, the Amud Beis starts on the bottom of the Amud Aleph. So our next Mishnah says that if the trap was set off before Yantav, so then, perfect. In other words, so now you can go ahead and get it on Yantav itself. I'm just going over what I said this morning. Just to make the point really clear, when we're talking about traps, what we're talking about is just netting. In other words, if the trap went ahead and killed the animal, that's not good, because then the animal didn't experience a shechita. Okay, an obvious point. But anyway, but if the animal is trapped before Yantav, great. If the animal is trapped on Yantav, no good. What if it's a suffix? So what we learned this morning is the Machlokas HaTanayim. Tanakama says the suffix is Aser, Rabbi Gamliel says suffix is Mutter. The story of Rabbi Gamliel supporting his position, I mean, it's his position. So, and then the Gemara into the Amud Beis says that the Halacha Fazik, the Chachamim, that a suffix is going to be Aser. Suffix Muchan is going to be Aser. And then finally, the last thing that we treat ourselves to is that within the Shita, Rabbi Gamliel, who says that it's Mutter, what does that mean, Mutter? It's a Machlokas between Rav and Levi. Rav says Mutter Latalta, Avalo La'achila. Levi's of the position that's Mutter, even La'achila. And Rav says, Levi, you know why you think the way you do is because you went to Rebbe Shir the night prior, but you didn't go to the Shir the next day, where Rebbe then changed his mind, and I was there, and you weren't there, and a little bit of Mussar in today's daf. Adkan.